Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times Tribune. Hello, Donnie. It's great to hear you again.
Same here, Steve.
Donnie, it's interesting. The SEC is going through meetings right now, and they were throwing some ideas out there. They claim one of 40 about having their own tournament. When you heard that, what did you think?
That's typical. I mean, these guys are, you know, they think they're the best conference in the country. They may be. You know, who knows? I mean, I don't see them enough to. I think they lose enough games and cry about losing enough games that they get their way into some of these championships with one loss, two loss teams. And you know, I can see them going out and having their own tournament and saying, hey, here we are. You know, this is where the best team is going to get decided. So it doesn't surprise me they're thinking about it. But I don't usually expect this stuff to go too far.
No, but I think in the end, I think they might end up settling with 16 teams of having a 9-game conference schedule instead of 8. I think that's good for the game because I think more uniformity is needed. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the big benefit of what comes from something like this. I mean, the Big Ten went to 9 games. I love the Big Ten schedule. I know people like to see the, you lose these non-conference games at the rivalry. Oh, you don't get to play, Pitt or whatever. But I'd rather face the extra conference team because then you get a more true conference champion. I think more things could happen when you play that extra game. I'd rather see the teams in the division. That's all sports to me. But I really thought that once Penn State went to that, or excuse me, once the Big Ten went to that 9-game schedule, I really thought that it was a much more accurate gauge of who the best team in the conference is on a yearly basis. Not because there's a big difference between 8 and 9 games, obviously, but because you're playing most of the conference. Are there drawbacks to it? Yes, but there's drawbacks to anything where you don't play everybody else in your conference. But I think the SEC playing 9 games, the Big Ten playing 9 games, I think that's a much more fair way to look at it. And especially the SEC. I mean, I'll listen to them a little bit more if their conference is really is as deep as they say, and it is. I think it is a deep conference. Then it would be to me more. What's the word I'm looking for? It would be more telling to see who would come out of that, and compete for a championship afterwards. I think it would be more. It would be as earned as what Ohio State does and Michigan did last year.
Texas A&M is going into its 11th season in the Southeastern Conference.
No way.
Georgia has never played a game there.
That's my one thing with the SEC, and I think you'll agree, and I think everybody outside of the SEC agrees. You know, they do fix the schedule a little bit to make sure that the teams they think are going to be pretty good are going to be pretty good in November. The record's going to show that. I number one did not know Texas A&M had been in the conference 11 years. That shocks me. And but it doesn't surprise me as much that they haven't played Georgia. They don't want that's a game Georgia could possibly lose. They want to make sure that Georgia's protected a little bit there. They're very good at protecting their own down there. They're a lot better at it. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far. But they're as good at it as the Big Ten is. Let's put it that way.
The SEC, of course, with its contract with ESPN, and that doesn't start now. It doesn't start for another year and a half, or something like that. 2 years it starts. 2 years away. They've financially separated themselves. The Big Ten is about to get is very close to announcing in one form or another its new set of contracts. That will separate them financially. The ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 are going to be left behind financially. I mean, Rutgers is going to get exponentially more TV money than USC. Think about that. At some point, should Kevin Warren sit down and talk one-on-one with Greg Sankey as the two most powerful conferences, especially financially, about what to do so it benefits everybody in the game?
The short answer is yes. I think you strike while the iron is hot. You do what you have to do when it has to be done. And if it's not Kevin Warren, somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to jump in there and say, you know, not, it's our turn. Whether it's the ACC or anybody. I mean, nobody's in position to do it right now, like the Big Ten is.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's not going to be perceived as the right thing to do, because it's going to be looked at as, hey, these two conferences are ganging up on everybody else, and they're going to get theirs before anyone else gets what they have coming to them. And but I really think that at this point, the way the game is going, money wise, it's a game of haves and have nots anyway.
Yes.
The Big Ten has to do what's best for the Big Ten at this point, or else the Big Ten will be a team, or the Big Ten will be a conference falling behind. So, yeah, I definitely think that should happen. Whether it will, I'll believe that when I see it. But I think Kevin Warren, if he's going to be proactive, I'll tell you this: I think Delaney would have done it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that Jim Delaney would have been on that, but Kevin Warren's been a little different than I've expected. So I think he should. Will he? I don't know. And what comes of it if he does? Who knows? But I think it's good for the game overall if they do that. But the Big Ten's got to get what the Big Ten has coming to it if that's the case.
We've talked often about name, image, and likeness. Every state has its own laws, regulations, and so forth. When you look at the current state of name, image, and likeness, almost 11 months in, what do you think?
It's chaos. It's free agency, to a degree. Now, name, image, likeness at its best. I had the good fortune of talking to LeVar Arrington yesterday at an event near Scranton. And we talked a little bit about name, image, likeness, and he's been doing a little bit of this kind of work, for a lot longer than the laws have been in place. But he basically says, hey, it's a good thing, because these kids now control beyond college what they're, I forget exactly how he put it, but he basically said, you're controlling your own. Image. You're your own product. You're your own brand at this point. And I think everybody kind of gets that. But I think at the heart of it, that's what this does. I mean, it allows a good guy who just a guy like Sean Clifford, who does everything right on in the classroom, on the field, all of that sort of stuff. It allows that kind of person to make some money and do some things that they're going to better himself, not just in college, but long term. Now, is it going to lead USC to go and get Jordan Addison? Yes, and I think that's where people didn't want it to go. But it shouldn't be surprising to anybody that that's where it went, because that's where the game goes. It's a competitive game. There's a lot of money on the line, and you just mentioned it. USC isn't getting this big TV money. Mm-hmm. Rutgers is going to get. So I think that's nothing is surprising. I think that it went the way that I expected it would. I thought it would be like a Major League Baseball kind of free agent feeding frenzy, and people getting what they could get because they've never gotten it before. And that's happened, but it's still to a degree surprising, shocking, all of that, to see it happen so quickly in college football, where you were basically signing a lifelong contract with your school, on signing day, and that's just not the case anymore. And I'm not sure someone like me who's been around for who's been following this for decades now is ever going to get quite used to that, and it's not going to see. We're going to see some things that we never thought possible. Still, but it is it good for the kids? Yeah, I think it's really good for the kids. And there's not one player. I asked LeVar yesterday. There's not one player who ever played under the old system who wouldn't want it this way. This is so beneficial to the mm-hmm. to the kids, and so I don't want to say detrimental to the programs, but it's something that these guys all have to adjust to. You're seeing people who've had complete control over players they've landed now kind of have to you know, adjust on the fly and do some things, they, you know, and kind of see how the system could work for them. So it's going to be very interesting. We haven't seen, this is just the very beginning of this. So I think it's going to be more surprising as we go along what we see. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, if you think this offseason was bad, wait till next one.
Do you think in a period of time this, quote, settles down, or it settles down and settles in?
I think it settles to a point where we're used to it. And what I mean by that is, you know, you're going to get to a point where if you bring in a four-star quarterback and he doesn't start in 2 years, you're expecting him to leave at that point. But right now, I think the shock of that is still pretty big among alumni and fans of these programs. And I'm sure at Pitt, you know, they're going to say, look, you know, they just came in and fleeced us out of a player. And that's going to happen a lot. And how do you get used to that? Well, I mean, I'm sure Pitt's going to get their share of players, and you know, just like Penn State's getting their share of players out of the portal and things of that nature. I think we're going to get used to it. I don't know if it's going to settle down. I don't know if it's going to slow down. I don't know if they're going to figure out a way to keep a player who doesn't think he's getting his opportunity at Penn State from going to Notre Dame or vice versa. But you know, I think we're going to get to a point where fans and coaches and administrators and the media all are just kind of expect that stuff is going to happen and that it's going to be commonplace. I can't think of a plan or a system that's going to prevent this. I just don't see that happening. I know they're going to try, but you don't give back something you get. When you have, when you have everything and you used to have nothing, you don't give that up.
Exactly. When you look at, I think what Nick Saban, just my opinion from 30,000 feet, I think what he was trying to do, and he used the wrong verbiage to do it, but I think he was trying to implore his Alabama fan base to, like, hey, guys, you got to get involved in, quote, the collective. To do this, I think that's what he was trying to do. It just didn't come out. I think, you know, you can't sit there and say Texas A&M bought all their players. That's not the way to say it. that certainly plays with it.
I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think he didn't say. I think what he meant to say is what James said all last year.
Yes,
but, you know, we have to figure out here at Penn State how we make inroads into this and take advantage of what we can offer and do a better job through fundraising, alumni, donors, whatever, of having a way to make sure players who want to stay here can do it. And I think that's what Nick Saban said. It might be a little bit of a right message, wrong guy kind of thing too.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But
exactly.
You can't say some of the stuff he said, but I think that's really what he means. I think the danger at Alabama when you have something like this happen is complacency. That's the only thing that could really kill Alabama at this point. And maybe he obviously knows the financial situation there way better than I do, but maybe he sees that setting in. Maybe there is some complacency with donors, with the alumni base, the fans. I don't know, but I could definitely see that being where, you know, what happened here and why he said what he said. But it's not something you could say. You have to have the receipts if you say that, and you also can't be. You also can't have the opposing coach come back and say, I know you do this, the exact same thing, and those kind of words.
Yeah, Jimbo, to his credit, took a debate and turned it into an argument because of emotion.
Yes. and that was the wrong guy to kind of say that about and think that nothing was going to come back on him. Yeah, I totally agree that was, and I love the Lane Kiffin comment. You know, that should have been on pay-per-view. I think a lot of college football fans thought that.
Oh my God, me as the SEC banned them from doing national radio. Like, what? Really?
Yeah, they're different down there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll solve the problem.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, you know what? Lane's never going to talk again. Never. No. I mean, Hoover, Alabama is going to be a blast in July. All right. Hey, Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, Steve.